How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world, every day, including Father's Day. Here on the air live. 2 hours here on a Sunday afternoon. It's going to be a fun show here today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's actually a very, very busy day on the website. We've got Wrestling Observer Live. We got a Brian and Vinny show later tonight, and I will be plugging here and there the Sunday night debut of After Dark Radio, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern on the Dark Matter Radio Network. I will be up live tonight with a brand new show. Hopefully you can all tune in, trying to break the record for the Dark Matter Radio Network tonight in terms of listenership, so I'll plug that throughout the show. But we got plenty of stuff to talk about on this program, so we're not going to waste any time. It was a very, very busy weekend. Lots of stuff going on, including the Bellator show on Friday night with the Kimbo Slice Ken Shamrock match. What a match! The match of the century, that was. Just a disaster, really. But we'll talk about that. A clean winner in the middle of the ring, although some people, in watching it, thought, this cannot possibly be a real fight. It was, but if you think otherwise, of course, you're welcome to call in today. The Ring of Honor Best in the World pay-per-view aired on Friday night. A very, very good show with a really, really, really good main event. I loved the main event of the show. It was Jay Lethal versus Jay Briscoe, champion versus champion. They'd built it up for a long, long time. And whatever you want to say about Ring of Honor, either competitor or the show itself, fans believed this was a big deal, and they did just a great overall package. The match, the intros, the post-match, it was just really, really good stuff. We'll talk about that here today. In the middle of watching Impact as we went on the air, so we can talk about that. And a lot of other news as well. We got 4 phone numbers I'll throw out after the break. We'll be taking phone calls all day today. Should be a fun time. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for 2 hours on Father's Day here. And Mike, how was your Father's Day? Mike?
It's been very nice so far. Yeah?
Do we have a delay?
I don't know, do we?
Apparently we've got a delay here. That's all right. I will pause and not speak and tell us about your Father's Day. Hopefully this clears up soon.
I've had a pretty good Father's Day so far. Maybe it was the new intro music that we're using, which is kind of like WCW would use guys' theme music, like Smells Like Teen Spirit and mix it. That sounded like a mixed version of Kazushi Sakuraba's old Pride song.
Well, here, this is what we're going to do, Mike. I'm going to mute your line here for a moment. I'm going to have you disconnect and reconnect. And hopefully, if we've got any sort of delay, we will solve that problem there. Couple of notes here as we're accomplishing that task. We're going to be taking phone calls here today in just a moment. I want to direct everybody to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. All of the numbers are up there. We have got a toll-free line, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. That is toll-free. 5 lines to call into there if you want to contact us here over the next 2 hours. I'm going to throw out the other 4 lines right now. This is the only time I'm going to throw those numbers out here. If you want them, you got to go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com because it'll take forever to rattle off 4 other lines here on each show. So either write it down or go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com and get ready to call. If you are west of the Rocky Mountains, 425-488-0525. If you are east of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. If you are anywhere in the world, you are welcome to call the Parts Unknown line, 425-398-7353. And if you are a first-time caller, you have never called this program before, 425-398-7353. 7289 is your dedicated number. All of these numbers are on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And so we will be taking phone calls throughout the evening. We already have people on the line here, but I want to talk a little bit of news, and then we'll go to the phones. Mike, are you back?
I am back. Is there any sort of delay?
Sounds a little bit better now. We'll hope that it all catches up.
The grid's not going down. You don't have to buy any canned water. Everything's just, you know,
hunky-dory.
Killing itself here?
I believe everything is all right. It sounds good now.
All right.
So here we go. The first topic of conversation here today is the Ken Shamrock Kimbo Slice fight. And on Friday night, Dave and I were reviewing this. And I will be honest, I mockingly belittled anybody who thought that this fight was a work, a fake fight.
Oh, yeah?
And I had a lot of people that were very, very upset. Now, to be fair, okay? To be fair, I explained why I thought that people might think it was not a real fight. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been training in jiu-jitsu for over a decade now. I see people grappling every day at all experience levels and all ages. I've also been watching pro wrestling since I was like 11 years old. I've watched worked fights. I've watched real fights. I know what a bad fight looks like. I know what a fake fight looks like. I know what a fight between two old men who aren't in the best of shape and are stumbling around looks like. And of all of the available options, I believe firmly that Ken Shamrock versus Kimbo Slice was a real fight between two not very good fighters. And if you choose to not believe that, I don't know what to say. I mean, you're welcome to believe whatever you want.
I'm back.
But if you ever believe me on anything, believe me, this was not a fake fight. Mike, what did you think watching this debacle?
Well, I guess you could take jiu-jitsu out and put in wrestling, and I could say all of the same things and also come to a different conclusion that wouldn't say that the fight was fake, but I will say that I don't know if Ken Shamrock, being Ken Shamrock with his experience level, with getting a one big last payday, I'm sure, from Scott Coker, who's obviously booking Bellator. He needs to build up his guys that he has there, but he feels as though he's going to do that by using men like Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock and the likes of those guys on the tops of cards, Tito Ortiz. So, Shamrock took Kimbo Slice down in such a ridiculously easy fashion, and we know Ken Shamrock, all of a sudden, I don't think you stop learning how to do a choke, and I'm not, Kimbo was defending it. Kimbo does train at where ATT. I'm not, hey, I just think Shamrock was going to go out of that fight. They were going to go out swinging. And I wouldn't be the only one. There are a lot of people out there. I'm not saying that it was a fake fight, but the whole thing, a real cynic would say Ken Shamrock was calling everything during the lockup. I thought that was hilarious. No. And I think how the whole thing went down, I just think Ken Shamrock was going to lose that fight on his feet. And I'm not saying do the best thing for business, but again, this was it a pure work? No, it wasn't. But I'm sorry, you can't have a fight like this. You can't have guys like this in there at these ages and knowing what this whole thing is about and not be somewhat cynical about it. I'm sorry. I just, especially with how easily Kimbo was taken down. It was almost comedic. It really, really was. And Ken Shamrock, hey, look, he knows how to put a choke on. And I think he was being as aggressive? I was very surprised. Again, I was very surprised that Kimbo was able to shake that off, hulk up, get back to his feet. And those shots he landed were very real, but I feel as though Ken Shamrock probably knew in the back of his mind that's the way he was going out of this fight no matter what.
Here's all the problems with your theory. Where to begin? So, let's just pretend that Ken Shamrock went in there, and in under a minute, he blitzed Kimbo. He took him down, he got his back, and he choked him unconscious, and he won the fight. And now you have the opportunity to put together Ken Shamrock versus Tito Ortiz. Or Ken Shamrock goes in there and he nearly kills Kimbo with a rear naked choke, but Kimbo somehow gets out and knocks out Ken Shamrock. So now if you wanted to, you could be doing Tito Ortiz versus Kimbo Slice. Which fight do you think is bigger?
Well, we've seen Ken and Tito a lot of times, and the thing is, no matter what, you can still do that fight anyway because he's Ken Shamrock. It's not like his stock goes down because...
Well, Tito is coming off a win.
But still, it doesn't matter. With Tito and with Ken and with Kimbo, they all will stop drawing when they stop drawing, when people stop paying attention. But as long as they are who they are, history has proven time and again, people will want to see them. They wanted to see Ken 10 years ago on The Ultimate Fighter. They want to see him now. And until that stops happening, it's not like this loss is going to hurt him. This is it was a pride fight.
But my point is, a Ken Shamrock tap out first round victory over Kimbo Slice, to me, is a bigger fight. The comeback of Ken Shamrock versus the comeback of Tito Ortiz, that is a much bigger fight than Tito Ortiz versus a losing Ken Shamrock, or to me, Tito Ortiz versus a Kimbo Slice who really didn't look very good at all and looked like he had absolutely no takedown defense and no ability whatsoever on the ground. That's a hard fight to sell. Tito versus this Kimbo Slice.
Well, I know, but with how things went down, if you look at it that way, nobody was damaged. You know, Tito's big head can get in there with whoever he's going to fight, and if it's going to be Ken Shamrock, again, people will pay for it. And this way, you can do Kimbo and Lashley, which I know is insane, but Kimbo and whoever else you're going to do, you can still do it.
I know, but my point is, if the idea was we're going to do a worked fight to set up a match, whatever the match might be, it would be so much more impressive if Kimbo avoided every single one of Ken's takedowns and then knocked him out on his feet, as opposed to getting taken down with ease, nearly finished, lucking his way out and knocking out Ken Shamrock. And I'll tell you why it sucks on Ken Shamrock's side as well when we get back from the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking Kimbo and Ken. And the other thing I wanted to add about this is, if they were going to do a fight, a worked fight, a fight that was not on the level, do you go to Ken Shamrock? And if you're Ken Shamrock, do you agree to, A, I'm going to keep trying to take the fight to the ground, but Kimbo is going to manage to avoid it every single time, and despite my best efforts, I won't be able to get the fight to where I want it, and he'll knock me out? And maybe if I would have got it there, I would have won. Or do you agree to a scenario where I took the guy down with ease, I got his back, I had a rear naked choke locked on, and I couldn't finish it, and he stood up, and then he knocked me out? That is the worst possible scenario if you are going to do a worked fight and you're Ken Shamrock. That is the one scenario where you're going to say, hold on a minute, let's maybe do something different. Because that makes Ken look completely pathetic.
And it does not prevent people from still wanting to see Ken Shamrock throw hands with somebody as long as his body looks like that and as long as he can talk. Because if you think about it, I mean, a lot of times, and they showed it before the fight, a lot of times with Ken Shamrock, some of the hype, and maybe it's because I've watched him for so long as a pro wrestler. I mean, yeah, I've watched him for so long in the UFC, and I know he's always been the same way. I mean, I saw the very beginnings of the UFC, and I saw Ken Shamrock, and I saw a lot of his wrestling career from being in South Atlantic Pro Wrestling, and then, you know, obviously in WWE and in other places. It's almost corny, and it seems so put on with how his hype is that I always wonder, it's like, will people burn out on this in the fight game? But the fact is they haven't. So it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whatsoever. Tito Ortiz, you know, suffers more from losing than from Ken Shamrock. It's just, I'm not saying Shamrock's untouchable, but he almost is in that way where that dude can just keep losing and people will still want to see him. And again, that's going to stay the same, Brian, until it's just not anymore. And he doesn't, you know, capture people's interest. It doesn't matter how he loses. It doesn't matter if he loses. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it looks. He's still going to be the guy. That's why in 2015, when the UFC began in 1993, he's still the guy. Or one of the guys.
So are you saying, Mike, that you believe this was a worked fight?
I am saying, look, Dave Meltzer, and I need to actually send him an email and send Josh Nason an email. He did an incredible issue, and this may be, it literally may be 10 years old now, where he talked about the different kind of fights. And this was brought up last night when it came to Pride and how, you know, what's a worked fight? There's different types of works. You know, there's obviously the one where both guys are in on it. Maybe only one guy's in on it. There's the stack the deck.
So you think he threw the fight?
I'm saying that I'm not the, there are fighters, there are trainers, there are lay people, there are reporters. Hey, if it looks like what it is.
Answer the question.
I will say that, yeah, something just, no, I don't believe it would be hard for me to be convinced that Ken Shamrock was not going to lose that fight on his feet in that way, especially judging by that choke, how easily Kimbo went down, and just how, again, something didn't feel right. And maybe, hey, I could be wrong. I'm not going to fight this or anything like that. Again, it's a spectacle.
You're going to be fighting it all day on the show today.
It's a Pride fight. It was a Pride fight. That's what they had. How about this? I won't call it a worked fight. I won't call it a fixed fight or any of that stuff. It was a Pride fight from back in the day. That's a Pride fight.
I can't wait to take calls here today. Let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, yes. This is Lewis from New Jersey. How you doing?
Yes, Lewis.
I actually was going to call and talk about Anderson Silva for a moment, if I could.
Sure.
A little fishy that it's been 5 months and his win has still not been overturned, whereas, well, a while ago, Pat Healy had his win overturned for a failed test for marijuana. Do you think there is some kind of double standard here for guys like Silva?
Well, when Silva failed, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, I don't think, had the power to overturn a decision in the case of a drug test failure. They can now, so you're going to see...
I think they could, Brian. I just think, has he actually met with them yet?
No, he still has not met with them. It'll probably be ruled a no contest. I don't think that they can overturn it and give Diaz the win. But it probably will end up being ruled a no contest.
Do you think Diaz failing for marijuana will have any implications that against that?
Well, I think that will assure that it's a no contest.
Yeah.
Both men failed.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks so much for the call. I waited a long time on the line for that question right there. I can only imagine, but let's go to Ryan in Cumberland.
My question is about Dusty Rhodes. Have you heard anything about WWE trying to bring back the Bunkhouse Stampede? I think that would be the best way to maximize a tribute to him because that would increase house show business drastically because you have to qualify just to get in. Then you had the grand finale, which is in a cage where you have to throw him over top of the cage or...
Know damn well nobody's trying to bring back the Bunkhouse Stampede. What kind of question is that?
He's asking.
It didn't pop anything in 1987. Why would it pop any house shows now?
Then for the main event, it would be Cody Rhodes wrestling Brock Lesnar for the world title, but Cody would come up short. This is like a tribute to the Dream, and I would have Dustin Rhodes win the actual Stampede in honor of his father, but I do think that would actually draw a large amount just because it would be a Dusty show.
Huh. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm surprised you asked about that and not about the possibility of War Games coming back. I think that there would be a better possibility of War Games returning than the Bunkhouse Stampede.
Well, the Stampede was my favorite pay-per-view of all time, so... That's why I didn't choose War Games.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, Ryan. I don't expect that to happen, but I suppose, in fact, I just was alerted. No Bunkhouse! It's in all capital letters from somebody in WWE. Do not expect the Bunkhouse Stampede. I got a message here. I gotta clear if I can say who it's from here. Hold on. It's about you, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
And it's also, by the way, Vince hates War Games, so I don't think you're going to see that one either. Okay, this is from Lance. All right? I'm sure he means this in the nicest way possible, Mike, but he says, Mike's an idiot. The only believable explanation for a worked fight was Ken agreed to get knocked out, but wanted to prove to himself he could beat the dude before he threw the fight. You see what he's saying?
Okay. Yeah.
So Ken wanted to prove it to himself. That's why he took the man down. He had the choke on, but then he released the hold, and then when he stood up, he took the he fell on his sword, But I don't even buy that.
Lance can't understand why people want to see Ken fight. And you know what? I don't understand it either, but they still seem to. And that's why Scott Coker's using him. So again, it doesn't matter what Ken Shamrock did in that fight. Kimbo needed to win it more than Ken, because this way you can still use Kimbo and Ken, because Kimbo getting knocked out, you know, would do more damage to you trying to have another fight with this dude.
Well, and Kimbo's not getting knocked out. If he would have gotten beaten, it would have been via submission.
Yes. Well, he goes in there with a real fighter who can actually move and, you know, who's got real boxing experience. You know, but still, it doesn't matter. You can still use both of those guys now. So, you know, Kimbo being laid out by Ken Shamrock or choked out in 10 seconds, could you bring Kimbo back and have anybody care? Would he do it? Or would he go back to doing something like, you know, the street fighting or some other way he can make money?
Should get Lance on here, but I believe he's recovering. He's got Dave's cough, which is very
unfortunate.
He deserves
that for calling me an idiot.
Wow. Let's all
whoa, you sound like you got some
I'm gonna
puberty.
I need John McCarthy back here on this show, like in the opening segment. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yes, Kenny.
Hey, I guess I may have remembered. I called on Friday, and boy, I guess my prediction was right, wasn't it?
I forget your prediction.
About Lethal beating Briscoe?
Well, I did agree with you, but yes, you were correct.
Yeah, and I actually did watch some Ring of Honor last night, because actually one of the stations locally is Sinclair Station.
Sure.
I got to say, I was kind of impressed with what I saw as far as, I guess, the tapings for the Saturday show. I mean, it was what it was, but, you know, I mean, it's a good product. I really have to say, I was really impressed with it. And I hadn't seen it in a while, but I was really impressed with what I saw. It actually got me tuned into the wrestling, which is really what you need. If you're going to compete against WWE and be different, I felt like they did a good job of it, in my opinion.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I like Ring of Honor television, and I have noticed, I was just watching Impact, and yes, the Impact production is very slightly better, but it's mostly the lighting outside of the ring. The lighting inside the ring, I would say, is pretty much identical, and I think that in 2015, given the resources they have, that's the best they're going to get with production. They could maybe upgrade the outside of the ring lights a little better. But, I mean, it's the best production they can get. They put on a very, very good show. The booking is logical. It's long-term thinking. I thought that the pay-per-view that they ran on Friday night, I thought it was not like a blowaway show, but the matches it needed to deliver, delivered. And I thought the entire presentation of the main event segment was just great. So, I'm a big fan, and we'll talk about Ring of Honor when we come back from the break and a lot more as well. And I should mention that Swerved debuts tomorrow after Raw. Filthy Tom Lawler will be delighted, I am sure. We can talk about that more after the break. Get your calls as well on any topic, including Kimbo and Ken. A contentious topic here on the air. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. All of the phone numbers are available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. We have four lines plus our toll-free number, which patches into five lines. Nine total lines if you want to give us a call. Toll-free number, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-7529. All of their numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and put down the one that corresponds to you, or actually that would be two of them, because you either have West or East of the Rockies and Parts Unknown, which anybody can call at any time. So check those numbers out on the front page. Mike has taken it from all angles here today, including Ryan in Cumberland here says, but Mike, Bunkhouse did a 3.5 buy rate for the pay-per-view. Mike, you're wrong about it not drawing. What WWE pay-per-view has done a 3.5 buy rate in history?
Son, don't talk to me about pay-per-view buy rates. I know a little bit about those. And it was a much smaller universe then. And there's a lot more that goes into that, and I don't believe it was 3.5 anyway, but all of this nonsense that is taking place today, including talking about fighting that happened in the last couple of days, and we have wasted all of this time on Ken Shamrock and Kimbo Slice, and yet no one has praised my newest favorite hero in the whole wide world, Miss Joanna Champion.
Who?
Why are we not talking about her?
Who?
Your J-Chick.
Oh, Joanna.
Yes.
And J-Chick. Yeah, she's great.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She and is a great fighter.
She laid on Jessica Penne. Here's the best thing about her. You know, there was the picture
was
of her.
Was that a worked fight, Mike?
Yes, because the only time I've seen that much blood, it was Ric Flair, you know, putting a razor blade across his forehead for the Crimson Mask.
You're telling me Jessica Penne gigged?
Man, did you see the scar across her nose, the cut across her nose? It looked like that. That's how hard that Penne hit her with elbows and front kicks and everything else. If there was a kitchen sink that Bobby Heenan had on the set of Georgia Championship Wrestling as he stood there with Carl Cox, they threw that in there. That's how much she threw at Jessica Penne, everything including the kitchen sink.
How about that damn cut on Ken Shamrock's head? He looked like a slot machine.
That's... Do you remember the one that was it? Who put the cut onto Fedor that looked like it was
who was that? I can't even remember. Someone will bring it up here in a moment. Probably Krokop or something.
And the fact that they pulled it open. Do you remember that? Like they pulled it open. They're looking at it, and he's got no change of expression on his face.
No,
just
none.
This brutal, but yeah. Joanna's awesome. And the fact she had the picture a couple days before the fight of eating the penne pasta. And she is incredibly self-aware. She is incredibly confident. She even seems to know where the camera is at in the ring. There looked like there had a lot of chances to have stars that came out of the Ultimate Fighter, because a lot of those women were very self-aware and they already had personalities and they already kind of had their thing going on in Invicta. And we're starting to see, you know, some people kind of break away from the pack. Paige VanZant, for obvious reasons, got her Reebok deal and is somebody that they want to build around. But Joanna is awesome because, again, she's no model or anything like that as far as having the looks of Paige, but she's got everything else to be a star, including one of the most important things that you want in fighting, which is the fighting style. And it's my hope that they continue to build her along, and she's one like Alexa Grasso and some other ones, although she's obviously way past her right now, being the champion and being so dominant, that I hope she becomes a big cog in the wheel of the UFC going forward as far as having stars and as far as being someone to build around. Because with her and Ronda Rousey, I mean, talk about badass women. Like, you know, who do you think of when you think of badass women in this world? You know, when we were growing up, there weren't, you know, tons of them. You know, there was Cynthia Rothrock, you know, as far as in the martial arts community, did those China O'Brien movies. And there were a handful. But now things have changed. It started with boxing and with the Christy Martins and women like that from over the years. Lucia Riker, Regina Halmisch, some of these women. And now it's gone into MMA. And not only do we have the baddest woman on the planet with Ronda Rousey, we have the second baddest woman on the planet with Joanna. So I hope they continue to kind of build around her, and I hope they really do something with her and she gets the props she deserves, because she has taken the ball and completely ran with it. Whether she has intended to or not, she is fantastic.
On our toll-free line, Josh, you are on the air. Josh, what's going on? Josh. Going once. Going twice. Josh is not on the air.
You know what it was with Josh right there. He looked at the clock and was shocked and noticed that there was only 15 minutes to go before the Inspire Pro Wrestling card begins, where Ed in San Antonio is right now. And hopefully he's got himself a smartphone with the Periscope app so he can Periscope the six-man featuring the Great Depression, the Red Scare, and the Hollywood Strangler.
He has promised that he's going to get a photograph of himself with the Great Depression. And he's going to put it on the front page of the website.
I thought about this. We keep talking about that team because of how great they are and how great the Great Depression kind of sort of is in some ways. The Orphans, that's who they're wrestling. This has got to be a very painful day for them to step in the ring today.
I'm just trying to figure out what kind of good caption I can use for Ed and the Great Depression on the front page. Because
that should be the next Craig contest.
I got someone here, by the way, very, very skeptical that Ed has a smartphone. Ed isn't smart, neither is his phone. It's a pleasant way to put it. By the way, if you want to Skype in today, we've got the Skype number up. It is Sports Byline 2. That's Sports Byline and the number 2, if you want to Skype in. So we're going to throw that out as well. 10 opportunities to get on the air. So give us a call on any of these lines, all available there on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And yes, to answer Ryan in Cumberland, buy rates, viewership, the number of people who actually purchase a pay-per-view, it's all changed many, many times over the years. So yes, there was a time when only 40 million homes had pay-per-view capabilities. And so if a show did 500,000 buys, whatever that comes up with, whatever percentage that is. But nowadays, you know, back when WWE was actually doing pay-per-view, I mean, WrestleMania, I would bet that the vast majority of WrestleManias did more than 500,000. In fact, I'm positive. So, yes. And you got the network here today. And the moral of the story is the bunkhouse is not going to be brought back for WWE ever. And doubtful War Games will until Vince McMahon is no longer in charge. And then with Triple H in charge, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a War Games match. But I don't think we're going to see it anytime soon.
And if they do the War Games match, they're going to do it at Starrcade. Because if it got to the point where Triple H is in charge like that, and I hope it's a long way down the line before they do it, I think that would be the perfect way to bring it back.
East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
Yes, John.
I cannot believe that anybody was thinking that that Ken Shamrock and Kimbo fight was a work fight.
Uh-oh. You're talking to one of them here, Mike.
Come on, Mike. I mean, really? You would honestly tell me,
what's up?
Come on, Mike. Jeez.
Where were you? Where were you when I was breaking this down here?
He's cooking.
I'm not saying that the thing was a
Mike is trying to pussyfoot around what he's trying to say.
Oh, shut up, man. I'm not saying it was a work from top to bottom, but like I said, I feel as though Ken Shamrock was going to go out on that in that fight on his feet, and that's the way that fight was going to end. It was going to end by knockout.
Okay, can I say one thing, Mike, then we'll go back to John?
No, let's go to John.
No, I got to say one thing. You know what this fight was?
Unfinished.
It was unfinished business. It was the fight that supposedly we had been waiting for years, which was a lie, by the way. No one was really waiting for this fight.
Oh God!
But they were supposed to do this fight, and Ken got hurt, and so they brought in Seth Petruzzelli, and Seth Petruzzelli, after winning the fight, after beating Kimbo, he apparently he got drunk or something, and he went on a radio show, and he. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something like, they made it worth my while to not go for the takedown or something like that. He insinuated that they had suggested to him, just stay on the feet. Hopefully Kimbo will knock you out. So what happened? CBS cancels. That was the death of Elite XC when that came out. Whether that was really true or not, whether he was just drunk and messing around or not, or whether it's true, that killed the promotion. So how could Scott Coker, in his right mind, arrange the same sort of thing here in 2015 for the rematch? He'd have to be crazy.
Because Ken Shamrock is a real worker that you can depend on. That's why. And you know what? That is one of the things, again, that Dave talked about in that old Observer, and I will desperately try to figure out what date it was, where he talks about these different types of scenarios that would happen with having fights. Okay, that, you know, you can do something like this and have it, you know, goes out on his feet. I mean, I don't understand what's so difficult about this to believe. You know, is that a work? If they say, look, they put heavy pressure on you and they say you're going to get a bigger bonus, you know, keep it quiet if you knock him out, if you keep it standing. Is that big of a shock? Is that a worked fight? Is that a you know, so how, why is it so difficult to believe that was the case in this one?
Because I watched the fight. It was a 51-year-old against a 41-year-old rolling around with a terrible fight. Go ahead, John.
granted, it was not exactly a technical masterpiece, but, you know, it was what it was. But I can't honestly.
Apparently not.
If that's the best defense you guys have.
I have a great defense. I saw it with my two eyes.
Mm-hmm. I hope you don't apply chokes like that in class.
I don't. I have one man in class who's unchokeable. Wang, and I still choke him.
When you've been training for years and years and years, you know, do you just forget how to put a choke on?
Well, listen, I can actually kind of explain this.
Okay, good. Yeah, come on.
Ken claims that he got the choke on, and he...
But that damn beard was cutting my forearm, and I had to let it go.
He claims that he felt Kimbo tap. That's what he says.
Oh, stop it.
That's what he
says. And you're saying this is unbelievable, and, right?
Well, no, this sounds like a guy who couldn't finish a choke and he's coming up with a stupid excuse.
Well,
he claimed that he felt a light tap and he went to adjust or let go or whatever, and that's when he lost the whole thing. That's what he claims. And if you watch the fight, there was a moment where Kimbo kind of felt a little bit weird, and even the announcers thought he was out, but he wasn't. So maybe
he was able to hulk back up. Damnedest thing, eh?
Maybe, who knows?
Well, oh, John's still here.
Hi, John. Go ahead.
When you put it that way, it does sound slightly suspect.
When?
You're a buddy of John. I see. John, he was burying you until you agreed with him. Now he's your best buddy.
Lies. You know how Brian is.
Ridiculous. Oh, and guess what? Guess what, everybody? I don't mean to interrupt you again, John, for the 9,000th time. But I think in the second hour, we're going to play... That whole thing with Kimbo and Seth Petruzzelli. So we're gonna get to that in the second hour. Hey, John, hold on for a second. I'll get a little more out of you when we get back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Had to boot a bunch of callers. I apologize for that, but we've got a lengthy segment here in terms of top-of-the-hour news and then a break. So at about 10 after... start calling again. We've got the 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. All of the numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com from various locales around the world. You can give us a call. Sports Byline 2 on Skype will be available after the top of the hour. That's Sports Byline and the number 2. And you can also tweet me at Brian Alvarez as well. We do, in fact, have some audio of the Seth Petruzzelli Kimbo Slice deal. We're going to play that after we come back from the top of the hour break. And however you want to contact us, I know a lot of you want to debate Mike, maybe myself as well, who knows? Who knows? But most likely you're going to want to debate Mike on this topic. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity will be there for you for a full hour after we come back. We can also talk more about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view Best in the World, the main event, Jay Lethal beating Jay Briscoe to end his undefeated streak. He had not been pinned in almost 3 years, I believe it was. He has now been beaten by Jay Lethal. I thought the whole presentation was awesome. Did you see that show, by the way, Mike?
I saw the main event, and I saw the three-way with Roddy, Elgin, and Moose.
That's right. A very, very good main event, so we can talk about that on the show here. We've obviously got some things coming up for WWE. The Tough Enough show is kicking off on Wednesday on USA, I believe it is. And Monday Swerved debuts. I know many people can't wait for that. We'll be taking your calls and much more when we come back from the top of the hour break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. Here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world, and thus the galaxy, and thus the universe. The most listened to wrestling radio show in all of history, ever. Back to biblical times. And since WWE stole blatantly the name of one of our radio shows, Tough Talk, I am rebranding this hour Tough Talk with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi as we discuss Kimbo Slice and Ken
Shamrock.
We should
actually use one of their other shows and call it Bite This.
Oh, wow, Mike. Mike, why don't you tell everybody briefly what Hoist Gracie has said?
Apparently on Friday, Hoyce has said that he would be open to facing Ken Shamrock, which is apparently a fight that Ken Shamrock has been wanting for a long, long time now. A third fight between Hoyce Gracie and Ken Shamrock, who helped build the UFC in its first incarnation back in the early in the mid 90s.
And if that doesn't tell you right now that this fight was real, I don't know what does. Hoyce took one look at this fight and goes, Jesus, I want Ken tomorrow.
Something tells me, and this is nothing against Ken, because I've always been a big Ken Shamrock fan, thought he was his run in WWF at the time that it was going strong. I thought it was kind of underrated there. He was one of the real good parts about the whole Attitude era, but... Yeah, it's. I think Hoyce could probably choke Ken out. I think Hoyce could still choke out a lot of people.
Well, oh, by the way, Tough Enough is on Tuesdays on the USA Network and not Wednesday. As if we needed one more thing on Wednesday for crying out loud. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, Seth Petrozelli's comments after that fight with Kimbo Slice. Also taking your phone calls as well, 855-478, I'm sorry, 1-800-878-PLAY. I'll throw out the numbers after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Are you ready? And it's about to get serious. Slice quickly across.
I'm Mike here.
The most incredible victory in the history of mixed martial arts, Seth Petrozelli. Believe. This is what mixed martial arts is all about. If you have a dream, if you're willing to step into a cage and fight for your life, you can be anything you want. Kimbo Slice, battered, bruised, bloodied. A young man from Fort Myers, Florida. His nickname is the Silverback. He came here tonight, found out that he would be the main event, and he has shocked the entire world of mixed martial arts.
There you go, everybody. That is the audio of the end of that fight. How ironic. Mauro Ranallo is going to be on the show tomorrow, Mike. Oh, man. Get his thoughts on this whole situation.
Listen to Gus Johnson right there.
Was it Gus?
So at least in the main spot. I think they used Frank and Mauro as well, too, I think, alongside Gus. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I like how, you know, if you're willing to take a fight on short notice and you're willing to step into the cage and fight for your life, you can be anything you want to be. You could be a pilot, a doctor, a pimp, a mobster, a Mac, a dope boy. You could be anything you want to be if you're just willing to get into the cage and fight.
That's essentially how it goes. Josh, on the toll-free line, you are on the air. What's going on? Josh from New Brunswick. Hello. Josh?
Is he dropped?
I guess he dropped. The second time now that Josh has called and dropped off the air. When you call, prepare to be on the air. The phone number is 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. I'll throw out the other numbers here. They are on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Parts unknown, which is anywhere in the world, 425-398-7353. And first-time callers, 425-398-7289. All numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can also tweet me, if you would like, at Brian Alvarez. Semper Vivi is at Semper Vivi. Sports Byline at Sports Byline USA. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Sean from New Jersey.
Yes, Sean.
My only question is, with the carnival-esque nature of that Bellator fight, why is it that TNA wasn't able to work with that? Like, for as crazy of a, you know, an MMA fight with, like, Road Warrior Animal coming out, like, and Like, how bad is the TNA situation that they couldn't work out a deal with Spike?
Well, I mean, it's bad.
there was a long lead up to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, they're having problems with Destination America, for crying out loud. So you can only imagine how bad it must have been with Spike TV. Although Spike TV was at least friendly enough that they allowed them to stay on until the end of the year, and they were. I mean, it was at least like a friendly parting. But yes, things were bad with Spike, and they're very bad with Destination America. It's a rough time for TNA.
All right, yeah. I mean, it was just such a weird whole event to how that fight was set up with the whole. At least the set looked nice. That's the only thing I could say for that final fight. Like, at least the archway stuff, and Kimbo's ground game was basically just, I'm going to lay on the floor. Like, he just tripped over when Ken pushed him over. Like, for someone who was supposed to be training in ground game all that time because that was his weakness, like, it looked like he hadn't been to a gym.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. You know how it goes. I mean, whether you think the fight was real or fake, and I think it was real, by the way, Kimbo is 41, and he got into training the ground game at an older age. And some people pick it up quick, and some people don't. I mean, Kimbo can train with whoever he wants for as long as he wants. He may always suck on the ground. That's just a fact. You know, you love a certain thing and you train it for a long time, which for Kimbo was stand-up. And then you realize, well, man, I got to figure out this ground game. And you start learning it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be any good at it. And certainly not. I mean, I've said it many times about mixed martial arts training. I mean, when you're there training all different aspects of the sport, you get a limited time with each individual aspect of it. Like, a lot of wrestlers come in with a great wrestling background. And so, since they have that base, you know, they can take up striking, they can devote more time to striking. But if you're starting from scratch, and you've got to learn stand-up, you've got to learn Muay Thai, you've got to learn boxing, you've got to learn jiu-jitsu, you've got to learn wrestling, and you've got to learn all of them, and so you've got to split your time four different ways, it can take a long time to really, really be good at one thing. And Kimbo just may never be any good on the ground. And he's starting at a late age. So,
let's, you know, amusingly enough, there have been at least two guys. I guess it's only two guys. Sean the Cannon Gannon, remember him? And Petrozelli, by defeating Kimbo, got shots in the UFC. Petrozelli, not as big of a surprise because, you know, he was going back to the UFC and he got a win on national television, embarrassing, Elite XC and embarrassing Kimbo, which got him his shot. But do you remember Sean the Cannon Gannon?
Oh, yeah.
Which they had a back, you know, for those who had never seen this, I'm sure it's up on YouTube somewhere, where they had one of those, you know, back alley, you know, fight club, slobber knocker, last man standing fights. And Gannon, who I think was a fireman, I believe, or an off-duty police officer, off-duty fireman, actually got a shot in the UFC for beating up Kimbo. Although Kimbo's people were very upset because they had agreed beforehand not to go to the ground. At least that's what they had claimed.
Let us go to the phones. Parts Unknown line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
Hey, hi there. It's Thomas calling from Norway.
Wow, Norway. What's going on, Thomas?
Known part.
Well, not too much. I was just listening to the radio show, and I've been listening for a long time, and I'm a subscriber, and I thought, wow, he's got an international number. Let's try. And, well, then I was on the air. I don't really know if I have a question, though. I guess I could
Do you have a monologue?
Ask about TNA. I have a monologue. But not really. It's not Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
My God, he's internationally known. Well, Tomas, I know that the Impact show is very popular overseas, and you mentioned Impact. What would you like to say about it? What do you think of the show?
I pretty much think it sucks. We don't get it there in Norway, so I have to watch it on a stream, which I gave up a year ago or something. I watched the first episode on the Destination America, and then I gave up on TNA. But I would like to see. Okay, I have a good question.
Okay.
Maybe not good. This new group that Jarrett is putting up, is there any news on that?
Well,
I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you very much for calling from Norway. Global Force Wrestling has started up. They've started running house shows. They're mostly sold shows at,
baseball stadiums.
Yeah, they do baseball stadiums. And when you do a sold show, it doesn't matter how many people show up because you got paid the money in advance. But the problem is you want as many people to show up as possible because you want to sell more shows. And the baseball stadium shows are doing allegedly in the 300 to 400 range in terms of attendance. And that's not great. I don't know what the stadiums are paying for those 300 or 400 people. I don't know if it's worth their while. But so far, it is a very, very uphill battle for Jared. I mean, he's essentially just running house shows with a limited roster of guys who aren't signed to other major promotions. Or at least, you know, he can use like Moose, who's with the Ring of Honor, and guys like that. But in terms of, there are no real big names that aren't signed somewhere else. So he's got no television deal. I mean, he's got an idea, but it's just an uphill battle. We can talk more about this after the break and take your calls. Global Force Wrestling, Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE, whatever's on your mind. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We have people on all of the lines. We're going to head to them in just a moment, but we were briefly discussing Global Force Wrestling. Mike is apparently watching it right now on Periscope. And you had something you wanted to mention about it, so go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just retweeted out the link if anybody wants to see it there from the guys at The Zone in Nashville are down there, and they have a Periscope of it. GFW Live in BG is what it is on Periscope. But, you know, when it comes to the stadiums, I'm sure that they're actually happy about it because they seem to be going to, like, single-A baseball stadiums. And in many places, they have deals like you would not believe. I mean, they essentially give away tickets during the week. You know, the weekends, a lot of times they'll have like fireworks on a Friday and Saturday. And so they always get a draw there. But sometimes during the week, it's very rough. So anything they can do to improve their concessions and make a little bit of money and have limited staff working, I'm sure they're all for. Now, it's a matter of whether, you know, let's just say, and I'm just using this as an example, Hermie Sadler, let's say in Southwest Virginia, he decides that he's going to be the one that puts up this sold show. Whether it's worth it to the investors and whether they can use it to be a PR thing or something like that, I mean, that's a different story than like the minor league baseball stadiums, because I'm sure they're actually welcoming it at the stadiums. It's a matter of whether it's important to these people who are putting up the money on whether the turnout matches whether they do it again or not. When it comes to Global Force, though, the perception, I think they do have a little bit of an issue. Now, it won't matter if these Orleans tapings are just, they look fantastic and the wrestling's great and you got a really slick, cool-looking product to put out. Maybe it doesn't matter if you're putting that out there to different TV stations, but I think you don't want to really hype up the fact that we went on a ballpark tour to minor league stadiums, because I think it does lead to a perception issue about, you know, you're only drawing 250 people or whatever it is, and they say they have a pretty good turnout in Bowling Green tonight, but I don't know what that means. Does that mean in relation to the 250 they drew last week? Is it over 1,000? I mean, you know, it's tough times, even in smaller stadiums, to have that perception of not being able to draw in, you know, a Bowling Green in Kentucky.
Let's go to Brisbane, Australia. I believe Brett is on the air. What's happening?
How you going, Brian? Hi, Semper Vivi. Good to talk to you guys.
It's very good to talk to you from a long way away. What's going on?
Oh, it's a long way at the moment, but I'll be in the area again soon. Now, listen, guys, all sports are a work. You know that.
It's football.
You
and
do know that. Come on.
Now you sound like an old school professional wrestler. Everything in life is a work.
Is this Bret
yes.
Hart?
No, I'm not one of those Brets. I'm a two-teed Bret.
Well, what do you make of? Did you see Kimbo versus
yes.
Ken?
Yes.
You believe it's
work.
A work?
Oh, it's man. A work. Come oh. on. The NFL's a work.
This man's
now, do you believe that is a pure work, or do you believe just maybe Ken Shamrock was in
he
on this action?
Job. He did the job. Shamrock did the job. And, you know, he's 51. Kimbo's got to keep fighting. So, yes, you knew it was a work. Guys, come on.
Well, hey, Mike believes it was a work. I believe
a hybrid, Brian, a hybrid.
I mean, listen.
You know it has to, Brian. Come
you don't,
on.
You don't need to do a work. You knew that Kimbo was going to beat Kenny's 51.
I didn't need to do it, but you know it is. It's like the NFL. So the only sport I can think of that isn't a work would be probably darts.
That would be difficult to work. But you know,
I bet you they could work darts in England.
Well, darts is not even a sport anyway. It's a skill.
Oh, come on. Is bowling a sport?
That's a skill.
How about golf?
Okay.
Skill.
All right, I actually agree with all
that. The thing that I wanted to talk to you, actually, Brian, long-time listener, like a Yada Day listener.
Wow.
But I haven't had a chance to chat to you. I've got a shout-out, said hello now and then, but I'm quite busy, so I don't get a chance. Now, have you been overseas at all, Brian?
Yes.
Vinny, problem is he keeps coming back.
Oh, wow. Vinny and I went over to Europe, and we toured in the 12th grade through a school tour. We went to many different places, France, Germany, England.
Damn.
Yeah, all over the place. We climbed the Eiffel Tower together. It was very romantic.
The Eiffel Tower as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So did you get an essence of the actual global footprint of World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE?
Well, I mean, no. This was a poor example of a school trip in the sense that we were on a bus most of the time, and we pretty much exclusively ate American cuisine.
Right. Well, I think that a lot of the times when I listen to your show and I hear people that do something critical of the WWE, they go, I don't see how they could do that. The point is the global footprint of that company is like unbelievable. It's like there are African nations that play the pay-per-views as at home they would play football games or something like that. Like I know that there's one of the princes of one of the African nations is like a crazy mark who has the pay-per-views on his government-owned TV stations.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the soul shows in the Middle East that they do are pretty amazing.
Exactly. And do you know how they tip the wrestlers in the Middle East, don't you? They throw their watches and their gold rings into the ring.
Really? Just like in Mexico, they throw money into the ring if it's a good match.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. But I think a lot of the times when I hear people that are being critical of the WWE don't really realize. Like when I heard that you were saying that you didn't think that they'd get the million buys for the network, it's like, that's insane. They'll easily get the million buys for the network. I think they're looking at trying to get 3 million?
That's their goal is 3 million, yes.
I don't think that is definitely out of the question. Like there are some countries in the world where the WWE is the biggest sport.
Well,
that's the sport.
I want to thank you very much for the call. We actually have to get to the next caller, but I don't think it's out of the question that someday they can get 3 million buys worldwide. I do not think that's out of the question. Do I think that's going to happen this year or even next year? No. There are plenty of places that it's just going to be hard to break the network into those different regions. And I someday, yes, they will be at 3 million. Not this year, not next year.
There's got to be a change, I think, in a lot of places, too. Because, I mean, you think about a country like Japan where technology has moved forward, and you think about all the things, but they have never paid for fights until Ricky Hatton. You know, there was Mike Tyson, but until Ricky Hatton, you know, paying for boxing matches didn't become a thing in the UK, you know, heavily and regularly like it has been. As it starts to change all over the world, that's when you're really going to open up to that. But I mean, it's not just, in a way, it's not just the content, or it's not just the WWE network and what's on it. It's trying to get people to actually pay for content who have never actually had to do that before.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, it's Steve, a caller, or Trash from Aberdeen, Scotland, here just listening to the last call. I do not think I'll be able to top that, I'm afraid.
He was very, very good, wasn't he? This is actually the Parts Unknown line, but go ahead.
That guy was legendary. Darts is totally a sport. I just had to say that.
See, they piss off people in the UK with that one.
I know.
Darts is the only sport in Scotland that people excel at. because you can drink and play darts. That's it.
But is it a work?
Yeah. No. It's not a work. It's real. You gotta be drunk to play it, though. That's the thing. I mean, so anyway,
now,
to the question.
What is the best? Now, what is your choice of beer in Scotland? Because we only have things like McEwen's and things like that. They get shipped over here. If I'm going to Scotland and you're buying me a beer and we're throwing darts, what are you buying me?
See, Mike, I'd probably buy you a 10-inch. That's the local around here. Me, personally, I prefer a cider, something fruity. But I'd buy you a 10-inch. That's the local around here. It's pretty shit, but it's the local. That's all you get around here. Sorry if I just swore. I forgot the
yes, no profanity, radio. Please.
I do apologize. Anyway, my question was, do you think with the WWE at the moment, the way they're moving the new generation in, do you think it's kind of passing of the torch, but not as in a passing of the torch between people, but a passing of the torch between generations, so to speak? We're moving from the old generation to the new generation. I personally think it's really cool. It's a really progressive thing they're doing, and it's leading to some decent TV as opposed to what we've been getting. I'm just wondering your thoughts on that, if you think that's maybe what's happening, or if I'm maybe just being silly.
Passing the torch to a new generation?
Yeah.
Well, first off, I want to thank you for calling all the way from Scotland. They are undoubtedly trying to pass to a new generation. I mean, we've got John Cena is only 37, 38 years old, and he's already, I mean, I shouldn't say already because he's been on top for 10 years, but when you think about some of the guys in WCW when they were on fire, I mean, a lot of the biggest stars were in their 40s. So it's not like 37 is old, but it's not so much age as it is how long you've been on top. And he is very clearly starting to transition into that Bruno Sammartino, the aging former champion role. And they're trying to make new young guys, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. These guys are all in their very, very, very early 30s. A lot of people in their late 20s in WWE. So you always need to create new stars. You always need to get new blood in there. And I remember writing about this in the mid-90s. It's not even age. It's television age. It doesn't matter. I never thought it mattered if a guy were 25 years old, 30, 35, even 40, if he keeps himself in good shape. It's how long you've been in front of the people that makes a difference. If you're 32 years old, but you've been on television since you were 16... it's time to get out of here and make way for new people. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Holy smokes, every phone line is lit up right now, so let's not waste any time. Sean, you've been waiting around for a while on the toll-free line. You are on the air. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Also a long-time listener from the E-Audit days.
Holy smokes.
Glad I don't have an awesome accent.
Well, we can't all have an awesome accent.
Yeah, of course. Well, our accents are awesome to the Australians, probably. But I emailed a question a couple days ago. I don't think you guys got to it. I'm curious about if anybody knows how the pay scales are working in terms of, like, the network and how the pay-per-view payoffs used to be, and, like, if the workers know it all, or if you guys know it all, or if it's still a year and a half later, if it's still up in the air and subject to Vince and Stephanie and Triple H's whims.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm actually going to mute you for a little while because you got a lot of wind in your phone. But all I know is that apparently after a year, I believe that some of the big names are back to making close to what they were making pre-network in terms of pay-per-view payoffs. I don't know about the younger guys. I kind of figured that would happen anyway. They're going to take care of the John Cenas and the guys like that, Randy Orton's. I'm not really sure about the undercard guys. I actually haven't heard anything for a long time. Maybe that's a good thing, actually. Maybe if the payouts were still terrible, we wouldn't have heard from those, or we would be hearing something from those guys. But maybe everything is back to normal, so to speak, now that they finally started making a little bit of money, or at least subscriptions went way up, and they're at $1.3 million for the network.
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't kept track of like how the last video game sold or any of that stuff. I'm sure guys who, I'm sure Bo Dallas isn't making tons of money, and they're not as worried about taking care of him as they are John Cena. But
You know, regardless, even though a lot of people were very unhappy, obviously CM Punk's podcast he did with Colt Cabana, echoed a lot of the sentiments that were taking place there. Bottom line is you're probably still going to make more there than anywhere else. So if that's what it's about for you, I mean, WWE is still probably your best option that way.
All right, West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian and Mike, it's Danny Hernandez.
Yes, Danny.
And my question is about Tuesday Night Tough Enough, since it's going to be live. It's like I have a strange feeling this will be more like that first season of NXT, a lot of drills and not enough reality TV. Like, I want people hooking up. I want that Brazilian girl.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you're getting people hooking up. Don't
yeah.
worry.
You're going to get way more people hooking up in reality than you are going to get drills. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. So they have a lot of pre-taped stuff? Because it says it's
going to
be live like all the
weeks?
Well,
it's mostly pre-taped stuff, but they're going to have live cut-ins on every show. But the vast majority of the show is going to be pre-taped the week prior.
Oh, I see. All right, man. Also, one last thing. Have you seen that? Because last week you were talking about that James Storm segment on Impact?
Yes.
And I can vouch it was the worst. It was like Chucky level... with Rick Steinabad, so there you go.
Well, I'm halfway through Impact. I haven't watched Hour 2 yet, but I have watched the first hour. So I have not seen the James Storm Magnus stuff yet, but I will be watching that shortly after this show goes off the air, so I can't wait for that. Andrew, on the Sports Byline toll-free number, you are on the air. What's going on?
Oh, hey, how are you guys doing?
Very well. What's happening?
I have a question for you. What do you think the end game is with this whole John Cena, Kevin Owens thing? Because I saw that match last week, and I thought it was amazing. I loved that match. But in the end, it seemed like it was just, okay, Kevin Owens is still a bad guy. John Cena still wins. What do you think the purpose of all this is going to, where is this all supposed to lead?
Well, that is a very good question. I thought that they were going to do... How can I explain this? I didn't think they were going to do a third match because Kevin Owens got his big win over John Cena. John Cena got his big win back. And when John Cena did that clean job in the middle of the ring, they saw some business indicators fall. John Cena house shows didn't do as well as before. Some of John Cena's merchandise numbers weren't as good as before. And so they very quickly went and gave him his big win back. And I don't see them beating him again. And I don't see a purpose in beating Kevin Owens again. And so I don't think that there should be a third match. But if you watch the television, they very strongly seem to be hinting that we are going to have a third match with the U.S. title on the line. So I don't know. Kevin Owens is about to lose the NXT title, I'm almost certain, to Finn Balor. And so it would only make sense if he loses that belt, he could win the U.S. title since he's going to be full-time on Raw. But they're really going to beat John Cena again after what happened the first time? I'm just very skeptical, so I don't know where they're going.
See, I'm a huge proponent of that exact scenario because I think if you do it at SummerSlam, and I know you're doing Brock and Rollins at the pay-per-view, but I'm sure Brock's going to have some, you know, there's going to be enough going on SummerSlam where if you have Kevin Steen defeat John Cena for the U.S. title, even if Cena is going to get it back, which I would assume that that's going to be the case. I think you can go ahead and do that. Here's my only thing when talking about the indicators. Those tickets went on sale a long time ago, and I don't know. I'm not doubting it, and I'm a huge John Cena proponent. With that said, I don't know if his loss to Kevin Owens, to me, that sounds like more of an excuse. Because if all of a sudden, you know, do people bring their tickets back and say, we John Cena lost, we don't want to see him? I mean, those tickets for those shows were probably sold. Yeah, I don't care what walk-up they get. They're only going to do as much as they're going to do. And I don't think his loss to Kevin Owens necessarily plays a part into that. I really don't, because if that was the case, then what was the point of having Kevin Owens completely lay John Cena out and not have him show up on Raw on Monday when he always shows up on Raw on Monday, but this time he didn't because of those damn back contusions?
We're going to go to East of the Rockies here in a moment. But first, I just want to remind everybody, tonight... at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, After Dark Radio moves to Sunday nights on the Dark Matter Radio Network. There is a link on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can also find it on TuneIn Radio. searching Dark Matter, searching Art Bell. It is the same network that Art Bell is returning to in 1 month. And we are moving to his normal time slot, but we'll be the Sunday show. He'll be going Monday through Friday at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. I'll be doing Sundays at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. That starts tonight. We're going to be joined by Joshua Cutchin, who has written an awesome book called The Trojan Feast, The Food and Drink Offerings of Aliens, Fairies, and Sasquatch. I'm interviewing him tonight on After Dark Radio, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. Make sure you tune in. It is free on the Dark Matter Digital Network. And with that, let's go to east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Memphis.
Yes, John.
I can't help but feel I'm starting to lose interest in NXT right now.
Why is that?
I think mostly because a bit of a transition going on with, for example, you say that, yes, I agree that Kevin Owens will probably drop the NXT title to Finn Balor, and he's going to get called up, so that's one main eventer gone. I think Charlotte is going to get called up soon with this whole angle on Raw with Paige and every other diva. Feels like that's going to lead to her debut. And, like, all these injuries that's been going on, like Zayn's out. Hideo Tommy's out, and apparently now even Bayley and Becky Lynch from the women's division both had to miss the most recent tapings due to injuries.
Well, I understand what you're talking about. I mean, we do have the return of Samoa Joe, and
yeah. I mean, that's another thing. It's awesome seeing Samoa Joe on WWE TV, which is his actual name, but I can't help but feel that they really are, like the critics say, I just transitioned from being developmental to an indie all-star show.
Well, it is an indie all-star show. That is actually exactly what Triple H wants it to be. It's still developmental, obviously, but
to me, it should be split. They should have NXT should actually be that awesome indie touring, you know, kind of all-star group, and then they should have a tour that just what they've been doing in Florida for those guys and women who are not ready to be on TV, and you don't want them on TV. Why expose them?
Yeah, that's their idea. They're going to have an NXT All-Stars group that's going to tour, and then they're going to have an NXT developmental group that is largely going to stay in and around the Florida area, and they're going to kind of tour a little bit as well. That's our long-term plan. But what I was going to mention was, yes, we are going to see some guys moving up. Kevin Owens is gone. I actually don't think Charlotte's being called up to work with Paige. I would think it would be more likely to be, I don't even know who.
You know what you could do,
Sasha?
If you wanted to do this after Total Divas, because nobody likes Paige anyway, no one's on her side. If you wanted to bring up Charlotte, let's just say Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha, and then that's how you insert them, and then you do whatever it is you're going to do after that with them splintering apart and starting to wrestle each other down the line. In theory, you could do that towards the end of the run of Total Divas.
Yeah, and on the male roster side, I just wanted to mention that I mentioned Samoa Joe, but Johnny Gargano was working on the last set of tapings. I don't know what's really going on between WWE and Evolve. There are a lot of rumors, but they've got a lot of very, very talented guys, and you probably, I mean, if Gargano is any indication, you probably will see more of them showing up on NXT as well to help bring some in-ring, advanced in-ring action to the show. So I think NXT is going to be fine. This is Triple H's baby. He's not going to let this thing flounder. He's not going to let this thing sink. I think it's going to, I think it's largely going to be all right.
And guys coming in to do a night or to check out the facility and to do a night and get paid for it. And, you know, obviously they see something in UHA Nation and they have him sign Gargano. I would bet that Gargano has probably been offered something. I mean, I would at least. I mean, Gargano and Cole and some of those guys at their age and what they're able to do, I'm sure they've offered deals to people sometimes who haven't taken it, but, you know, he's worked with UHA before. He's familiar with him. So those guys just coming in to help out WWE and to see what the strengths and weaknesses are of a guy like Nation, I don't think that, to me, is a great idea, too. I mean, you might as well have guys who you're familiar with, see what they can do with their pros and cons without, you know, using your guys to do it. Your developmental guys that have purely been brought in by WWE and have not been wrestling on the indies and who aren't familiar with some of these other guys.
to Parts Unknown. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Matt in St. Louis.
Yes, Matt.
I'm sorry. I meant to call on the East of the Rockies line. I wrote both numbers down.
Hey, Parts Unknown is for anybody, so go ahead.
Did Vince McMahon say that he would not hire anyone who had been employed by ROH or TNA, or did he say he would not employ anyone or hire anyone who'd been employed by them and had existing contracts?
Well, obviously,
company or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking wrestling contract, obviously you can't handle them. I don't know exactly what Vince McMahon said, and Vince McMahon was angry, and Vince McMahon changes his mind all the time, but he doesn't want to sign anybody who has a 5-year existing deal with an outside toy company, for example, like what happened with Kevin Owens. And as, I mean, we were talking about this last week on the show with somebody from Figures Toys Inc. I mean, they're not signing individual deals with guys. They have a deal with Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor is choosing the guys. And so, you know, I think his deal with, we're not going to sign anybody with Ring of Honor, I think that's more, he figures if we sign somebody, Ring of Honor may already have worked out some sort of merchandising deal, and they've got a deal with somebody else, so we don't want them
here. And they don't want Mattel pissed at them, and it makes sense. I mean, they had a situation like this with the Legends of Wrestling game. Games that came out, you know, a while ago too, and I think their response to that was to take these guys and not let something like that happen again. But you know, this is pure business. This isn't spite or anything. I look at this as pure business, and that's all it is. And you can't blame WWE's side for that.
But at the end of the day, if you're very, 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 very talented, let's just say that Moose, for example, I mean, Moose is a legit athlete. Moose is gigantic. Moose has got charisma. And let's just say that Moose turns into a great wrestler. And it turns out that Moose has an existing deal with Figures Toys Inc. Let me tell you something. They'll find a way to make it work for Moose. That's just the way it is in wrestling. So that's the situation. Yes, he's mad. But he's been mad about a lot of things in his life. And Vince McMahon,
angry.
He gets over things. It's all about business. At the end of the day, we're going to head to a break back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA radio network. Don't believe everything you hear, everybody. It's live here today. We are live every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as well as Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And we are completely out of time for today's show, but fear not. We are going to be back tomorrow with a brand new show at noon, and we will have a lot of news to talk about. We'll be heading into Raw. Man, it's weird to not have a go-home show every other week. For Monday Night Raw, we've actually got 4 weeks until the next WWE pay-per-view, so we'll be talking about that. Brock Lesnar is going to be on the show. There will be a lot of news. And hey, if you haven't heard enough of my voice today, God forbid, we got a lot more coming up tonight. We have a brand new Brian and Vinny show talking TNA Impact, as well as the ROH pay-per-view from Friday night, Best in the World. And then the Sunday night debut, 9 Pacific, Midnight Eastern, After Dark Radio, takes place tonight live and free on the Dark Matter Radio Network. There is a link on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. It's impossible not to find. You can also find the Dark Matter Digital Network on the app, on the TuneIn Radio app, which is available for all of the different smartphones in the world. It's linked up at ArtBell.com as well. That's tonight's going to be an awesome show, live and free. So check it out, 9 Pacific, Midnight Eastern. And as noted, back tomorrow here for more on Sports Byline USA, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Thanks, everybody at Byline, Mike, all the listeners. We'll talk to you again next time. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA radio network.